Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Should Christian McCaffrey ranked as the RB1 in 2022? How high should we be on guys like DeAndre Swift? And is Saquon Barkley back in the top five running back conversation? We're going to talk about all that and a lot more with our running back rankings right now. Let's ride. Welcome back in. Welcome back in. Let's just go ahead and get into it. Our RB1 rankings are as follows. In Tier 1, I have Christian McCaffrey and Jonathan Taylor. Tier 2, I have Austin Eckler, DeAndre Swift, Saquon, Dalvin Cook, Najee, and Joe Mixon. And then Tier 3, I have Alvin Kamara, Derrick Henry, Javonte Williams, and Aaron Jones. Robbie, in Tier 1, you have Taylor, McCaffrey, Eckler, Derrick Henry, and Joe Mixon. Tier 2, you have DeAndre Swift, Dalvin Cook, Najee Harris, Saquon, Leonard Fournette, Aaron Jones, and Zeke at 12. So, Robbie, who do you want to talk about in your RB1 ranking?
Well, you and I have already talked enough about Zeke. We've gone back and forth on that. So even though I heard a little scoff at the end, we'll let that one slide. I want to talk about Joe Mixon, because if you look at the tier, and you guys probably see the graphic right now, I tier mine a little bit differently from Kev. I used to just have Christian McCaffrey and Jonathan Taylor in a tier by themselves, because obviously when they're playing, they've shown that they're far and away a game changers in comparison to some of these other guys. But I just think with who can be the running back one, I want to throw Austin Eckler in there. We've seen Derrick Henry do it for two seasons. And honestly, Joe Mixon is the guy I really want to touch on for this portion, because he's a guy that absolutely has the RB1 in his upside. He was the running back 4 last year, so we finally saw him be healthy. We finally saw him come to fruition of what we've wanted for a couple of years now. He really found the end zone because that offense was humming, right, with the Cincinnati Bengals. He scored 16 times. And so now I expect a lot of the same in 2022, except I think that efficiency finally gets better, right? He's never been the most efficient guy, getting 4.1 yards per carry, 3.8, 4.1 in his last couple of seasons. But now they have absolutely revamped this offensive line. We have Alex Kappa coming over from Tampa Bay. That's a huge upgrade over Hakeem Adeniji at right guard. They have Lyle Collins coming over from Dallas, replacing Riley Reiff, who was horrendous at right tackle and was injured out of the lineup. Ted Karras comes over from New England, and he was a top 12 guard for them, played center for Miami and a couple other teams before that. So he's going to be a huge improvement. So that's 3 spots. And then they get their second round pick, a top 50 guy in Jackson Carmen. His second year, he's going to start continue to develop. And then Jonah Williams holding down the left tackle. So this line goes from being one of the worst in football to one that's pretty solid, honestly, probably a top 15, top 12 offensive line. And then you add in Hayden Hurst, who's a fantastic run blocker as a tight end. I'm just really excited about where Joe Mixon could go, because he's always gotten the volume. He's always getting around 40 catches, 50 or 60 targets. And now you add in just more efficiency. He can get to 4.5 yards per carry, 4.6. And this guy absolutely has the workload to be the RB1.
My only concerns with Joe Mixon is his usage in the passing game. They've just never truly committed to him in the passing game. Now, I will say, over the second half of last season and mainly down the stretch, they started using more in the passing game. I think they should, but they do have somebody like Chris Evans there that, you know, has gained some buzz, you know, in training camp. People have talked about him a lot, but that's the only concern I have with him, is him truly being able to reach that mark. To being an RB, you know, the RB1, and then also probably the fact that I think they're going to throw the ball more than what they did last year with all the weapons they have in the passing game. He's still in line. He's going to have a tremendous touchdown upside as well because of how good that offense is. But that's the only thing that concerns me with him. So I actually have dropped him down a little bit. He's still in my tier two, but he's at the bottom of my tier two just because of those things that I just mentioned. Now, I don't want to go too heavy into this this conversation because we are actually going to be doing a Christian McCaffrey versus Jonathan Taylor throwdown. And so you can check that video out on a separate video. But Christian McCaffrey, for me, for the while I had Jonathan Taylor at one, but the more I've looked, the more I've thought about it, and the more that I feel about this is that Christian McCaffrey is the best running back in fantasy football that we've seen probably the last 20 years. Like, when he's healthy, he is a cheat code. He is by far the best running back in fantasy football, and it's not even close. Even last year, he was brilliant in the games that he played. He very rarely scores you under 20 fantasy points. And somebody like Jonathan Taylor he was good last year, great. But it wasn't an elite like season. It wasn't a legendary type like season where he scores 24, 25. I mean, he barely hit 22 PPR points per game, which is great. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not like trying to knock what he did, but he's not involved in the passing game hardly at all. He had two games last year where he had over six targets. Most of the weeks it was two, three, four targets. So that's my concern with Taylor. We'll get more into it later, but I just wanted to hit on why I have Christian McCaffrey at one. And again, check out that other video. And then from there, like DeAndre Swift, Saquon Barkley, I have much higher than consensus. I just absolutely love both of their ceilings this year. DeAndre Swift, it sounds like he may have actually, this really hasn't been highly reported, but I maybe a little bit of a minor injury in camp today or yesterday, but it's nothing serious. But I know that, the big thing that they've kind of talked about with working in this offseason is him working through injuries and trying to play through some of these injuries that he's had that maybe haven't been as significant as he's tried to portray, like with Deuce Daly. But with him, his ceiling is just so high that he's very much Christian McCaffrey light. Like, he's going to be heavily involved in the passing game, and he's going to be involved, as a runner. And I think he can be a guy who handles probably 14 to 16 carries per game. I think he can be that guy. Put on 10 to 15 pounds of muscle this offseason. Good to see that. I think DeAndre Swift, who is going at like the back half of the first, early second. So I do have DeAndre Swift higher. I have Saquon Barkley higher. And quite frankly, I've been on the Saquon Barkley train all offseason, that he is 2 years removed now from this ACL injury. He is, all accounts, completely healthy in camp. Upgrades at the offensive line with Evan Neal and Mark Lewinsky and Asciano. The offensive line should be better. New coaching staff, new regime change. Everything aligns for Saquon Barkley to be the guy. There's nobody else there. Their best running back right now is Matt Breida as the backup, and nobody's worried about him. So he is in line to be a true workhorse again, and we know what his ceiling could be. So that's why I have Swift and Barkley ahead of consistency. And then I have Alvin Kamara at nine and tier three. But Alvin Kamara, I 100% do not think he's going to get suspended. If he was going to get suspended, it would have already happened. I think it's going to be next year before the suspension comes, because the NFL has pretty much set a precedent that until some sort of legal ruling happens or a video or something like surfaces. So if no video surfaces, they're not going to rule on this, and he's not going to get suspended this year. And I know that's where a lot of people's rankings lie. But if it was going to happen, it would have already happened. They've already continued the court case through October. They're going to continue it again until after the season. And so I do not believe he is going to be suspended at all.
I have him just outside as an RB1 right there on the fringe. I want to see what happens. Just really quickly touching on Zeke, I'm expecting the Zeke that we saw when he was healthy, weeks 1 through 4. I'm not expecting the PCL injury Zeke. So I'm really excited for him to get back to a running back one status. And that's why I have him there. Sneaking in as running back 12.
I am not going to speak on that because we could be here for a long while talking.
We've got a throwdown.
We have a throwdown coming on that as well with Cam Akers and Zeke Elliott, who are going very similar in ADP. You can go check that out in another video. It'll be out this week as well. So I'll save that conversation. We'll table that. But let's move on to our RB2 ranking, where I have tier four. I have Nick Chubb, James Conner, Leonard Fournette, Breece Hall, Travis Etienne, and Cam Akers. And then it's my tier five. I have Elijah Mitchell, David Montgomery, Zeke, Antonio Gibson, J.K. Dobbins, Miles Sanders. Your tier three is Javonte, Alvin Kamara, Nick Chubb, David Montgomery, Cam Akers, James Conner. Tier four, Travis Etienne, Breece Hall, Antonio Gibson, Josh Jacobs, J.K. Dobbins, and Elijah Mitchell. Who is your RB2s you want to hit on?
Well, I think the first one for me is one that some people have a little bit higher than me, and I know you do, right? You're the Javonte Williams guy. And I think I'm right there. Like, I know you've always been on the train that, hey, Melvin Gordon, they split a little bit of work last year, but it's not going to be that same workload. And I'm starting to get on that train where I could maybe bump him above some of these other guys. It's just tough when I know that there is a second guy there that's going to get some work And then they just have so many other weapons, and I don't know if they're going to be a full run first team, right? So I'm kind of right there on the fringe, but that's definitely one I'm going to continue to evaluate as we go through training camp and see, is Melvin Gordon really just completely in the backseat now? And if he is, man, this is exciting, because you put out in our player profile video on Javonte Williams, there's absolutely top five upside for Javonte in that offense with Russ Wilson. So that's a really exciting name that I can see myself moving on. Talked about Kamara, Chubb. Man, Nick Chubb, I feel bad that I have him here at 15 and you have him here at 13. Like, this guy doesn't deserve to be going here as running back two. If he's missing some of those games, we have Jacoby Brissett. I just think the one thing Nick Chubb has is his efficiency. He's always ripping off 5.5 yards per run, right? That's his average, if not better. And with Jacoby Brissett, I just think that number is going to decrease. And so if you have Jacoby for half the season or even just a quarter of the season, that's just going to knock him down to a running back two for me, especially when you're not catching those passes. But the guy I really wanted to hit on it is David Montgomery, just because this name isn't sexy and I feel like not a lot of people are talking about him. He's just your safe running back two, but I don't think that means people shouldn't be valuing him where he's going at, right? I think his ADP is running back 18. You have him at running back 20, I think, is where I saw. And his pace for 17 games last year was nearly 300 carries and nearly 70 targets. Obviously, he missed a handful of games. And so if he's hitting over 350 touches 2 seasons ago and he was on pace to get nearly 370 this last year, with 50 of those being catches, like, that's just a safe top 15 guy. And I know I have him right outside.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Side there, but we got Kamara who might get suspended and Chubb who we just talked about. So I absolutely think he has this top 15 running back safety net, but he's just not a fantastic name, right? He's not going to jump up into your top seven, top six because of that offense, right? We know their offensive line's a mess. He's never been super efficient because he has to break 3 tackles just to get 2 yards. So I won't ever have him up there in the top 10, but he absolutely should be right there as a top 15 guy. And so not a sexy name, but somebody you absolutely need to be looking at because of that volume. 300 carries, 50 receptions is probably what you're going to see here in 2022 if he's healthy.
The only thing that worries me with David Montgomery is there's been a lot of talk about Khalil Herbert being more involved this year. And this is not the same coaching staff as that drafted him that have any allegiance to him whatsoever. I'm not saying that I think that he is going to, like, you know, it's going to be some sort of like timeshare. But I do think that the other running backs are going to be more involved than what they typically been in the past here with this offense. And so that's why I have him in my tier 5, just because I don't necessarily feel great about, you know, he's going to get the same opportunities before, because he was almost like a true workhorse whenever he was healthy. Like, he would pretty much get all of the touches. And I don't know if that's going to be so much the case this year. So Leonard Fournette, me having him at 15, does feel a little bit weird because I do think that he has much higher upside than that. But some of the offseason, you know, blurbs have been a little concerning about his weight. Now he is, sounds like he's back down to where he should be. But I also am hesitant to think that this one, they had a lot of injuries last year, you know, in the running back room. Giovanni Bernard, who they brought in to be the pass catching running back, got hurt last year. You know, he was not nearly as involved as what they wanted him to be. But I think Rashad White, who's drawn heavy praise so far out of camp and really through OTAs and mini camp and everything else, that he could be more involved with what people are expecting him to be and could really eat into that workload, more so that pass catching workload that makes him so attractive. And if that happens, and if he's not getting the volume that he was seeing last year, it is going to negatively affect him a little bit. And Leonard Fournette is a guy that is getting older and somebody that has dealt with a lot of injuries in his career. But at the end of the day, am I a little bit too low on him? Possibly. But there's a lot of red flags surrounding him right now. And so I just dropped him down a little bit. But then I have, like, James Conner, who, one, people are too low on James Conner. I'm going to put that out there. I just did a video on him. His ceiling is immense. I mean, he was the RB5 last year, you know, and but a lot of that was touchdown driven. 42% of his fantasy points came from touchdowns. But we saw without Chase Edmonds last year just how truly – I mean, and they didn't do anything to that running back room, right? It is absolutely nobody else there. It's him and then, you know, Darrell Williams, who was, you know, good in the Chiefs offense. I mean, about average as it gets. But he's in line to have a massive workload in this backfield. And, again, he's somebody that's also dealt with injuries. So there is that concern there with him. But if he stays healthy, he can easily be a RB1 this year that's being drafted a little bit lower than that. So it's a pretty good value there with him. But there is the red flag. And then Breece Hall, Travis Etienne, love both of those guys. Both of them are probably my favorite tier, you know, my favorite running backs going as RB2s that there is. I think both of them have immense upside this year. I think Breece Hall, we could end up looking back and be like, okay, well, he finishes a top eight running back. It's 100% in the range of possibilities for him. We've seen it, you know, like I've said, 9 of the last 10 years, we have seen a running back finish inside the top 10, rookie running back finish inside the top 10. And 4 of the last 5, we have seen a rookie running back finish inside the top 5 as well. So it is definitely in the range of possibility. And he's the clear cut guy, the clear cut rookie running back to do so. And then year two of Travis Etienne, listen, love him as well. But we have player profiles of both those guys. I don't have to sit here and go into them both. And tier 5, the one guy I did want to mention, Elijah Mitchell. It is very interesting in camp so far, the news that have come out, that he has almost exclusively been the only running back running with the ones. Tyrion Davis-Price and Trey Sermon have only been running with the twos and threes. And so that is super interesting news that a lot of people were expecting, you know, it was going to be something different than that. Not that other running backs won't be involved, but it looks like we could be heading more towards Elijah Mitchell being kind of the workhorse, much like he was last year, right? I think a lot of people, the reason Elijah Mitchell's ADP has been suppressed this year is because everybody, you know, they drafted, you know, TDP in the third round this year, the constant movement of an RB1 and a Kyle Shanahan offense. But Elijah Mitchell proved last year that he can be a great NFL running back, somebody that is good on outside zones. He was top 5 in outside zones last year among all running backs, which is exactly what Kyle Shanahan does. With all that being said, I do think Elijah Mitchell, I could probably possibly move up to tier 4 because I think he could be more in line for a bigger workload than what people are expecting. I think people are expecting that he's going to fall off and some other running back is going to jump in, and I think that's bad profit.
Yeah, I think there's some red flags for me, so I'm definitely on the flip side of that, where you have a report come out just a week ago that there is a lot of concern about his durability, and we saw it with 5 different injuries in his rookie year. And then just the fact that they did go out and they drafted a third round running back, and you saw a comment that came out about Kyle Shanahan wanting to work more into a committee backfield. So there are some question marks. Now, I don't think they should do that, because I thought Elijah Mitchell, when he was on the field, looked fantastic. So I absolutely don't think that they should. But if you're talking about, hey, showed a lot of injury concerns year one, they go out and they get another guy to add to this already, you know, there's already enough names between Jeff Wilson, Trey Sermon. Like, they didn't need to go out and get somebody, but they invested decent capital to do that, especially when he's a goal line banger type of a guy who could take away some touchdown looks. So that's why I just keep him a little bit lower than where you have him. But I absolutely see the path for him finishing where you have him at. The last one I want to hit on, the last name I want to hit on is the one you have at 24 there, Miles Sanders. He's a guy that I do not have in my top 24. We have reports that they're going to use a committee. You know, Sirianni comes back and says, hey, he's my running back one. He just hasn't been working with the ones right now. There's just a lot of question marks there. No touchdowns last year. Are you back on the Miles Sanders train?
I never got off. I have him where I have him because I don't think that he is going to, you know, he's not going to be a workhorse in this offense. But he has proven whenever he's healthy that he can be explosive, you know, home run hitting type running back. I'm not all that concerned that he wasn't running with the ones. And I guess the answer was that, they want to give some of the other guys some opportunities, you know, to work with them, whatever. And that is something that people are reading too much into, I guess is what was basically said. But he's going so late that it doesn't really matter. Like, he's going like 6th, 7th round now. I mean, or somewhere right in that range. I love that value for him because one, he doesn't need to absolutely crush and be an RB1 to pay that off. I mean, if he's a solid RB2, which is definitely in the range of possibilities for him, I think it's fine. Like, I think his ADP has gone too far for what upside he does provide. I think he can be a guy that provides, you know, 13, 14 fantasy points per game, which in that range of running back where he's going now, he's going more in the line of a guy that's going to, you know, give you, you know, 11, 12 fantasy points per game and be a guy that maybe you may never even draft. Because for most people, he's probably going to go a little bit higher. And so you're probably not going to get him. I have him at 24 because I think he can well outproduce what his ADP is. And where his ADP is, anyways, isn't going to kill you if he doesn't work out. Like, I love taking a shot on him.
Yep. Miles Sanders going off as running back 7 in the early sixth round. So that's his ADP right now.
Like, I think Kenneth Gainwell can be more of a problem, maybe in the passing game. I mean, he had like almost 50 targets last year, which is something not a lot of people talk about. But I do also, if you don't want to take Miles Sanders, fine. I do like, though, taking Kenneth Gainwell later in drafts, because I think that pass catching volume that I think that lies there for him is real.
Four guys that didn't quite make the top 24 that are even a little bit further down that I just wanted to highlight really quickly because I think they have standalone value, but if their starter goes down, they have a lot of success coming their way. Ramondre Stevenson has been getting a lot of buzz here in training camp. Isaiah Spiller, Ronald Jones, and then Nyheim Hines are four guys that I think if you are maybe waiting on running back or you just want to have some higher upside guys that if their starter went down, they could get a lot of the workload in really good offenses. Those are four guys that I really like.
I like the Ramondre Stevenson call a lot. I think that he is somebody that is going to start moving further up draft boards, to be honest with you, because of I think that he's actually somebody that I have moved up quite a bit. I haven't got him up to top 24, but I do have him moved all the way up to my RB 29 now. And I actually moved Damian Harris outside of my top 36. I do think he supplants Damian Harris. Yes. Okay. And I think Ramondre Stevenson is the guy to own here. I think he's the better running back. I think a few other guys to hit on, like I already mentioned, Khalil Herbert, I think is definitely a player that nobody talks about as being somebody that people should be looking to draft. I like him. Tyler Algier, you know, we've already got the reports that, you know, he could take over as the lead back. Not surprising considering all the running backs that are there. Managed Kenneth Gainwell, love him as a late round guy. And then past that, you know, I think there's some other names, Deontay Foreman, some other names like that that we mentioned, Rashad White definitely as well. So those are kind of the late round running backs that I would be looking to take, you know, in drafts. And I'm sure we'll hit on more on that. That being said, be sure to hit that subscribe button. It really helps us out, helps us grow. Be sure to hit that like button. And let us know in the comment section below what you think about our tier, our rankings. What you think we're too high on, too low on. I'm sure we're going to have people tell me that I'm too low on Derrick Henry. Surprise, surprise, I am every year. Or I'm too high on Saquon Barkley. That's going to be the other one I'm expecting. But it is what it is. I'll be right. Everybody else will be wrong. That's how it goes. Be sure to hit that like and subscribe button. Like I said, we will catch you on the next one. Bye.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.